You smell it before you see it. Cut grass, a little bit of two-stroke smoke, and somewhere off to my left, the fattest tires you have ever seen on an airplane rolling slow across the turf. I'm standing on the ramp at Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and it is loud, and it is glorious, and I could not be happier. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Ramp, this is Ramp Check, and today I'm not down on Boeing Plaza with the jets. I'm not on the Warbird line with the round engines. I walked all the way out to the corner of the show where the airplanes wear Tundra tires, taller than a golden retriever, and I want to take you there because there's a tent out here. And under that tent is a group of people quietly doing some of the most important work in all of general aviation. And most folks walk right past it on their way to buy a bratwurst. Not today. Today we stop. Before I dig in, let me tell you who's making this walk possible. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey, first solo, private pilot, instrument, all the way up, mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story, AviationSoul.com. And backcountry flying is nothing but milestones, your first landing on grass, your first landing on gravel, the first time you shut the engine down at a strip with no fuel, no tower, no cell signal, just a river and a mountain and the airplane that carried you in. Okay. Let me set the scene for you. Out here in the bush area, the airplanes look different, you know it, the second you walk up. The wings sit high, the gear is long and springy, built to soak up rocks and ruts. The tires, oh, the tires. Some of these are 31 inches tall, some are 35. They call them bush wheels, and they let an airplane roll over a boulder field like it's a pudding green. There's a Piper Super Cub here, painted the color of a ripe tomato. There's a Cessna 180 on floats over at the seaplane base. But her cousin, the 185, is right here on huge tires. There are kit planes, carbon cubs, a Scout, something Alaskan and home-built, with a propeller the size of a ceiling fan. And in the middle of all of it, there's a modest tent with a green banner, the Recreational Aviation Foundation, RAF for short. And I am telling you, this is the beating heart of the whole backcountry world. Let me tell you what these people actually do, because this is the part that gets me fired up. There are hundreds of public backcountry airstrips scattered across this country. Little grass and gravel runways tucked into national forests, up river canyons, out on the edge of nowhere. Some of them are more than 100 years old. Pilots have been flying into them since the days when the airplane was the only way to reach a fire lookout or a ranger station or a hunting camp. And here's the thing, nobody tells you those strips are disappearing. Not because of accidents, not because pilots stop caring. They disappear because the grass grows over, because a culvert washes out and nobody fixes it, because a land manager somewhere decides an unused runway is a liability and quietly closes it, one strip at a time, quietly. Nobody notices until it's gone. The Recreational Aviation Foundation exists to stop that from happening. They started back in 2003, a handful of Montana pilots who looked around and realized these airstrips were vanishing and nobody was standing up for them. So they built an organization, they work with the Forest Service, they work with the Bureau of Land Management, they work with state governments and private landowners, and they do it the hard way. The patient way, handshakes and paperwork and showing up. You have to understand how unglamorous this work is. This is not a barnstorming story. This is people driving out to a remote strip with weed trimmers and shovels and a chainsaw, filling gopher holes, cutting back the encroaching brush, rebuilding a windsock frame, hauling out other people's trash, so the land manager has no reason to close the place. I met a volunteer this morning, retired airline guy, flew heavy jets across oceans for a living, and he tells me the best flying he ever does now is loading a mower into the back of his Cessna and flying 2 hours to spend a weekend cutting grass on a strip that maybe 40 pilots a year will ever use. I said, why? 2 hours of flying to go do yard work, and he looked at me like I'd asked why the sky is up. He said, because if I don't, my grandkids won't get to land there. I'm not kidding, that's the whole philosophy in one sentence. Here's something you might not know. The RAF has this idea they call the airstrip as a trailhead. Think about it like this. When you hike into the wilderness, you start at a trailhead. A backcountry airstrip is the exact same thing, except your trail is the sky and your boots have a propeller. The strip isn't the destination, it's the front door to the destination. The river you're going to fish, the ridge you're going to camp on, the valley nobody drives to because there is no road. And when you frame it that way to a land manager, to a state parks department, suddenly the airplane isn't an intruder. It's just another way people get to enjoy public land. Same as a canoe, same as a horse, that reframing has saved strips. Real ones, places that were slated to close, are open today because somebody sat in a meeting and made that case calmly for the 100th time. Let me walk you a little deeper into this tent because the people are the story out here. There's a mom and a dad and two kids at the table, and the kids are flipping through a big binder of airstrip photos.
grass strips, sandbar strips along a river, a shelf of flat ground halfway up a mountain that makes my palms sweat just looking at it. And the dad is telling me they flew the family Cessna in from 3 states away, and their whole vacation this year is going to be flying a string of backcountry strips, camping under the wing every night. The little girl, maybe 8 years old, points at a photo of a strip beside a lake and says, "That one, we're going to that one."
And I look at the caption, and it's a real place, a public strip, and it's open. And it's open because volunteers keep it open. That's the through line that kid gets to point at that photo and mean it, because somebody she'll never meet drove out there with a shovel. There's gear all over this corner of the show too. The bush flying world has its own culture and its own equipment, and it all lives out here. Big tires, beefed up landing gear, extended baggage kits so you can haul a week of camping supplies, little folding bicycles and packable canoes and shelter systems that turn your wing into a roof. And the STOL crowd, short takeoff and landing. These pilots train to get an airplane stopped in almost no distance and back in the air just as fast. Because when your runway is 300 feet of gravel bar with a river at one end, every foot matters. You'll see them out here talking angles and airspeeds and how slow they can fly before the wing quits. But I want to be really clear about something, because the RAF is clear about it. Backcountry flying is not about being a hotshot. It's not about the shortest, gnarliest landing you can brag about. It's about judgment. It's about knowing the density altitude, because a strip that's easy in the cool of morning becomes a trap by hot afternoon when the air thins out and your engine and your wing both get lazy. It's about knowing the winds in a canyon where they curl and roll and don't do what the forecast said. It's about having the discipline to fly all the way out there, look at the strip, decide it isn't right today, and go home. The mountain will still be there next week. That culture of judgment is something the foundation takes seriously, because every safe, respectful landing at a backcountry strip is an argument for keeping it open, and every reckless one is ammunition for the people who want it closed. These pilots police themselves hard because they know the stakes. Pack it in, pack it out, fly neighborly, respect the wildlife and the ranchers and the other folks on the land. Leave the place better than you found it.
I asked one of the founders' generation, a guy with silver hair and a handshake like a vice, what winning looks like. What's the goal? He said the goal is that in 50 years, there are more of these strips than there are today. Not fewer, more. And that stopped me, because in a world where it feels like the little airstrips are always closing, always shrinking, here's a group of people betting they can turn the tide, and they've got the map to prove it's working. Strip after strip, saved, reopened, or brand new, negotiated into existence one conversation at a time. Here's what I love most. Standing here, this whole thing runs on volunteers. There's no giant corporation behind it. It's pilots, regular pilots who chip in a few dollars, who show up for a work party, who learn how to talk to a county commissioner. You do not need a $50,000 bush plane to be part of this. You can fly a beat-up little two-seater and still land on the grass. You can drive out to a work weekend and never fly at all. You can just join and let your dues go to work in a meeting you'll never sit in. If any of this is pulling at you the way it's pulling at me right now, walk out to the bush area next time you're at a fly-in, find the green banner, talk to these folks. They will hand you a map of your own state and show you strips you had no idea existed, sitting there waiting an hour from your home field. I came out to this corner of Oshkosh for the big tires. I'm leaving thinking about a retired captain with a mower in his baggage compartment and an 8-year-old girl pointing at a lake she's actually going to get to land beside. That's the backcountry. That's what these volunteers are protecting, not just dirt and grass, the front door to every wild place. A small airplane can still reach, my thanks to the Recreational Aviation Foundation and their volunteers on the ground here for walking me through it all this morning. There's more from the show over at radiohanger.com. Go find a grass strip, and when you do, fill a gopher hole while you're there. I'm Ramp Blue Skies.